So I'm Seth Grotsky, and my family will be coming in shortly. If you could go full screen, we'll see. If we need to adjust the lights, just let me know. But we are so thankful to be here and to give you an update about what God is doing in Spain because of what you are doing here. And so we want to thank you for that. This morning, my goal is to do a couple things. One is to share how you are part of something that's greater, something that surpasses the borders of Minnesota and is going throughout Europe. And we want to show you what God is doing because of what you have been doing and how we've been able to partner with that. And the second part is I hope that as you are walking through this with us, that you'd have an understanding, maybe an affirmation or a clarification or even a desire to do something a little bit different in your own lives. And some of you are already going, and maybe it'll be like, yeah, that's what we do. And some of you might think, oh, I think that might be another idea that we could participate in. So I hope you see that in the ministry presentation that we have and the pictures that we show and in how we communicate what God is doing in Spain. You can see our family, they'll be coming in, they're working around, but Crystal and I have been married for almost 16 years. I grew up in Minnesota, in Brainerd, Minnesota, and then Crystal grew up in central Iowa, north central Iowa, and our kids, Tanzan, Mia, and Grant, said, hey, that boy over there, his name's Grant, too. So he wanted to sit with they're twins now, so they're best buds. We have been serving in Spain for 6.5 years, and you have graciously provided support to make that possible, and so we're thankful. Do I need to turn this on, or is it? Yeah, it says it's on. Oh, that's. Sure. Well, I could be pressing, or maybe I need to really give it some
there's
gumption.
Something else got pressed. Maybe that got pressed.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll figure it out. So we've been serving in Spain. Sure. The next slide, this is Jody Harrison. She has been working in Spain as well, and currently we are moving to Pontevedra, a new location that I'll explain more about, but she's with Baptismen Missions as well, our missions agency. And there's someone else with us today, and that's Santiago. Santiago has been involved in our ministry for many years. He's here, and at the end, you can share something if you'd like. You want to fill in the gaps, but this is his first time in the United States. He's been traveling with us this month of August and getting to know all about Minnesota. So he's caught his first fish and had his first fish fry, and he has seen deer and skunks and squirrels and all the things that we have, spent time on the lakes, and it's been great to have him here. And I'll explain more of his involvement, that God has blessed us through him and the future plans as we go. The next slide is, if you could just advance there, is just a simple diagram. It's how we think in ministry. And we didn't come up with it. It comes from a book that you probably have read or you've heard of, The Trellis and the Vine. But it's a simple way of explaining the ministry. And the reason we needed this is when you enter into a new culture, everything is coming at you. Everything is distinct, from the language to the food to how you drive your car to everything. And so you need to, as you enter in, you have to be asking the question, not just how do I survive, but how do I get to the right place? Where are we headed? And if you don't have a plan, it's too overwhelming. It's like walking back into a grocery store here to the cereal aisle. There are too many choices. Because in Spain, you don't have that same concept. So you have to have a plan, and this is how it works. We start with building bridges, which is engaging with those around us. And then we move to evangelizing, which is through God's word, reading scripture together, having sometimes our friends, our neighbors, for the first time, hear what Jesus actually said, not just what someone has said about him. And then edifying, continuing to work through Scripture and seeing how all of Scripture points us to Jesus Christ as our Savior, as our King. And then finally, equipping, helping individuals see the world as God wants us to see the world, to see our fellow image bearers. These aren't just people who are in my way. These are other people that God has created and has a plan for. And so this, as we think about this ministry cycle, it's how we started out in Spain, and it's how we continued. In order to not get overwhelmed, how do we move from zero to a church plant? How do we do that? Well, we follow a simple pattern. And so here's how it looks. The next slide is of the city of Ponferrada, and you see just about half of the city, but it's in the mountains. Thank you very much. No. It's in the mountains of northwest Spain. We're in the type down to a valley called El Bierzo. And this city has about 60 to 70,000 people. And if you look on the back table, there's a Knights Templar castle that's located right here. There's more pictures that are a little bit easier to see on the back table. And there's a river that runs right down through the middle. And this castle, built by the Knights Templar, was done in order to protect the pilgrims who were walking through, because there is a famous pilgrimage route called the Camino de Santiago. Or there's a Netflix movie that you may have seen called The Way. And it just chronicles people walking this roughly 500 miles across the country of Spain. So hundreds of thousands of people walk through Spain every year going to Santiago, this city where they believe that the bones of St. James are buried. So this city goes back, the castle itself was built on Roman ruins, and then previous to that were pre-Roman Celtic ruins, but the castle was built in the 11th or 12th century, and so the city has grown up around that because of the protection offered. So we have been ministering there for the past 6.5 years, working towards planting a local church. And thankfully, because of God's work in people's hearts, we were able to see that happen. But we started by entering in, thinking about how do we build bridges? How do we make connections with people who are different than us? So one of the ways that we have done that and been able to participate is through English Hour. So we have a conversational English hour. We invite people to come for an hour or an hour and a half each week to practice their English. And then that moved into other opportunities. And this is a group of us from the English group that walk the Camino de Santiago, that same route. We do it for 3 days each year. We take a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and we just walk and we talk in English. And as we walk, we provide discussion questions. So we use the Pilgrim's Progress, and we read sections of it, and we ask, have you ever been with someone like Pliable? What does Pliable mean? And do you know someone like that? Have you been Pliable? Or what about Faithful? Is there someone in your life who's like faithful to you, who's always been there, and what do they do? And then we have a little book called Compass Questions that we've created with questions like, what's your greatest fear? What's the center of your life? And if you were to lose it, you wouldn't know what to do. What's your greatest desire? And we use that to talk all day long as we walk in English so they can be immersed in English and we can grow in our relationships together. That spread into a TV show that we had just they asked us to explain the conversational English hour. So we did that because we got to know Maria, the host. And then the TV station asked, would you do this every week and just help teach the city and all the people who have that TV show in the valley, English. So every week on Thursdays for 15 to 20 minutes, we would do an English lesson. And sometimes we would do expressions or quotes, or we'd do taste testing. What do Americans like to eat? And so we brought in American pop and had them try it. And they're fully convinced that Mountain Dew is a bathroom cleaner. And root beer is on the fence, but we would do things like that, or how we use peanut butter. And so we brought all these types of things because you can go to the grocery store, only certain grocery stores, and find one choice of peanut butter. Like if you know which grocery store to go to. So how do we use peanut butter? And Maria, became a good friend of ours, including coming to our Bible studies, having a Bible study with her personally, and she continues to be a good friend. But just making connections, building those bridges. This is right before we moved. This is the chief of police. His name's Arturo. And he called and asked us to come in because they wanted to present our family with a plaque for service to the city. And this friendship that has lasted almost 6 years started because Crystal and Tansen baked Christmas cookies. And just that's what we do, and that's part of us. But that's not what is normal in Spain. But the police station is right in our backyard in the park right behind where we owned our apartment. And so we took them over to the police station, and foreigners bringing a plate of cookies into a police station, their first question was, are you trying to get out of a fine, or is there something in these? Well, we gave them to the staff there, and the next day I received a phone call, and it was a lady from the police station said, the chief of police wants to see you, so can you come in? And I was like, Crystal, what'd you put in the cookies? But he opened up and he's like, this isn't what we normally do. Why is this? How long have you been here? And then that started a friendship. And so Arturo and I regularly go for coffee. We talk about his Catholic faith and our Protestant faith. How are they different? We talk through books that we've read or current events. He's called and asked questions as he's writing papers for international journals and trying to understand English words and concepts. And so he became someone who was very close to us just because of simple acts. And what God does is he takes those little connection points and he opens our eyes and he builds this relationship. And so because of like simple connection points, God's given us many opportunities to share the gospel. This is at a first communion of some of Tansen's friends from school. And so they would invite us knowing that we aren't Catholic. We don't do the same things, but we love them. We appreciate them. And so this is where they could come and share what they've learned from the priest in this situation. And then we can explain, well, our daughters, they don't do these same things, but we love Jesus. We follow Scripture, and we differ in these areas. So we build relationships with others. And then as you saw the Camino, the path that and the bridge that was built and the castle that was built because of it, we come in contact with people from all over the world each day. The Camino really runs from Easter week until the end of October. And in those months, so beginning of April to the end of October, the city of Santiago can receive over 200,000 people who have been walking from different parts of Spain, which means each day hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands of people walk through our city on their way to Santiago. And those are just the people that finish. Those aren't the people who have started and maybe have to stop or have divided up. And we have stories after stories, but this lady walked in the end of April. We were at one of our favorite cafes right across from the castle, and we love going there because we don't order. Everyone there knows us. They know our family, so we walk in. They see our drooping eyes and the kids who are bouncing off the walls, and they're like, we'll get you a big coffee this morning. So we don't have to order. They know us. They put our picture up on their Christmas display, and they're our friends. So we were sitting there, and she walks in wearing a Colorado shirt. Well, you can't buy Colorado shirts in Northwest Spain. So we just went up and started talking to her. Are you from Colorado? And she was a pilgrim walking through. And I asked, well, where are you from? We have friends from Colorado because in October of the year, this past year, some other individuals walked in. I recognized their running shoes because I'm a runner. So I started talking to them. And it turns out they are, they're from Colorado, and they were evangelical Christians as well, which you don't find. Like, this is just a neat experience. So we were talking, and they were really interested in what God was doing in Spain. So we've kept up correspondence. So I shared this with her. I said, well, where are you from? And she said, well, I'm from Boulder. I was like, oh, I don't know anyone from Boulder, but this couple was from, and Crystal remembered, Longmont. And she goes, I'm from Longmont, but nobody knows where Longmont is. I said, well, this other couple, and I showed her a picture of these friends of ours, and she goes, she's my Taekwondo teacher, some type of jiu-jitsu. And the connections, and then we were thinking, I know we've heard Longmont before. And it turns out that we had friends when we lived in Peru. We worked with and were very close friends with a brother and a sister, Roman and Amelia. And Roman married a girl from Colorado. And then they came and visited us in Ponferrada a few years ago. And so Roman and Melody came over. And they live in Longmont. But the thing is, Roman and Melody are coming to work with us for a year or 2 years in this coming year. And so God uses these little connection points to bring us together. Just because we see a Colorado t-shirt and we're like, oh, someone probably speaks English. Let's talk to them. And you never know how God opens up, just opening our eyes to see the people around us, not as people in my way or in the line in front of me, but as fellow image bearers. God knows them. And as C.S. Lewis said, you never meet a mere mortal. Every person is unique and distinct because God has created them. That's something that differentiates us from the other worldviews. Each person has worth and value because God has placed that on them, because it's his image and his creation. And so when we start to see others like that, we open up the opportunity to build bridges. And then this final picture is in our home. We don't have a ministry center per se, or we didn't in Ponferrada. So everyone would come through our home, and the people from Spain or individuals who are visiting Spain on a short-term missions trip, or as well as you'll hear about a year-long internship, through our home and being able to share meals with other people. As we learned their culture and they learned some of ours, it created this bridge. And that bridge isn't there just to look pretty. The bridge is there because they're important to God and they're important to me. And across that bridge, we want to carry one of the heaviest messages. And that is about our good God and what he has done for us in sending his son, Jesus Christ, for us. And a bridge can only support the amount of weight, a certain amount of weight, depending on how well it's constructed. And this is a heavy message. And so we want to make sure that people understand that we care about them and that we love them. But it doesn't stop us from talking about difficult things. It actually, that's one of the ways to build that strong bridge. So we had a friend from Sri Lanka who was teaching English. We got to know him through the English hour. And he told me, I just was asking, well, what do you think about Jesus from your background? And he said, well, I think Jesus is the greatest liar who's ever lived. He has deceived more people than anyone else in the world. And I said, well, like, how do you know he's deceived so many people? Well, so many people believe what he said. Well, have you read what he said? No. No, I haven't read the Bible. So how do you know that they're lies and that he's deceiving? Well, because of an other ideas. I said, well, how about we read through and we look for the lies that you're talking about? So we went through the book of Luke. And we got through the book of Luke and he said, I don't know who Jesus is, but he wasn't just a mere man. Something's different about him. So we invited him to come to our Bible studies. And he said, listen, I don't want to offend you because I don't believe the same as you. I said, I know that. You've already told me that. It's not a big surprise. But you're talking about Jesus. You're not talking about me. Now, you know that I love Jesus, but I'm not Jesus. You're talking about him. This is between you and him. I'm still your friend no matter what you tell me about him. Your issue's with him. And he goes, yeah, I suppose he has bigger shoulders than you do. And I said, yes, he does. And so we were able to continue with Bible studies individual, move from individual to a group Bible study, and have him see what it looks like for believers to come together and study Scripture together. Because it's not me and him. We're not arguing. I'm presenting to him what Jesus has said. He's got bigger issues than the little arguments I can come up with. Because when you really sit down and read what Jesus says, it is not easy. Why did thousands of people walk away from Jesus? Because, as they said, your words are hard. So the biggest issue is between my friend and Jesus, not between the two of us. But as we read Scripture together, we think that God's word is the best at addressing the biggest questions in life. Now, they're not easy answers, because it tells us something about who we are and our problems that we have. Sin and justice, judgment. But he answers a solution that's greater than we could ever imagine. Because it doesn't involve try harder, forget, cover up, positive self-thinking. It deals with a perfect sacrifice. So as we read Scripture together, we often do it in our home or at a coffee shop. Now I don't even remember, in the past few months, we were out for a walk with a couple as a Bible study that we've been helping with since May through July. And as we were walking, a guy with let his dog go, and he said, come. Well, in Spanish, you don't say come, you say ven, or you say some other word. But we all of a sudden, we're like, that guy speaks English. So we're like, hey, where are you from? And he was taken back, I'm from Boston. Well, we just met a guy from Boston on a hike in Spain. So we started to talk to him. We got to know him. And we had coffee with him and his wife, who's Spanish. And I was there, what do you do here? Why are you here? He's a scientist and then works with a health company. And she has worked at restaurants and raising their kids. And we explained, we're from the Protestant faith, because they don't understand, evangelical is very confusing. It sounds like the evangelists, which to them are Jehovah's Witness and Mormons. So explain, we're from the Protestant side. And, well, what does that mean? And we talked about Bible studies. Like, well, where do you meet? And I said, well, often we meet in our home or at a coffee shop. And she said, I would go to a Bible study in a coffee shop. But for someone to enter into a church is a different matter. Now, some might, but most need an entrance in that isn't full of a lot of other either cultural baggage or interior baggage, because the church has, in many parts of the world, has been used as a political tool. And it's caused a lot of problems. And so we just have our Bible studies in coffee shops. This was one of the Bible studies with men we had every Saturday morning, with some of them, not all of them, but John Templeton and Joel are currently leading the church that was formed in February in Ponferrada. We'd get together every Saturday and read through books of the Bible. And in this picture, there's also a guy who we've had a Bible study with for years and years and years, but he considers himself an atheist. But every week, studies the Bible with us. And frequently, I ask, finishing up this study, does it make you want to know more about Jesus or just sort of close the book? Because this is hard. I said, no, I want to know more. This is interesting. And it all started because we had a discussion on worldviews, and we went through the Sermon on the Mount, because I said, I'd love to hear what you have to say about Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount. What do you have that is comparable to this? So we studied through it, and since that, which was 4 years ago, he's been coming to Bible studies, and God is working in his heart. During COVID, Spain had very tight restrictions, so we couldn't meet together. We couldn't have more than four people in one spot at a time, which meant as a family of five, one of us had to hit the road. I tried volunteering, but it was a tough, no. But as far as group-wise, we couldn't have anyone into our home, so we'd do on psalm walks. We'd get together, and we'd walk, we'd read a psalm, and we'd talk about it. And God used that in individuals' lives in all of our lives, to help us through that period of time, but also for one friend in particular to see, wait a minute, I consider myself a Christian, but I don't read God's word. I don't have this personal relationship with Jesus that I think that I thought I had, but I don't. And so God has used those type of Bible studies in the church. And then edifying. gathering as a body around the Word of God. And our goal was to plant a local church in Ponferrada. And God brought that about in February. And we, at that time, they were able to call two leaders, as I mentioned, John and Joel. And there's a group of core families and then people who are coming to these Bible studies. And the church is growing. And the name of the church, this is, again, Joel and John and Chema, which are actively involved in teaching and leading the church in Ponferrada. And I advanced too quickly. The name of the church is Iglesia Evangelica del Sil, and the Sil River is that river that cuts right through Ponferrada, giving life to the city and offering refreshment and beauty to that city. And so as the name, the church chose the name and called the leaders, God is working in them now, and we ask you to continue to pray for spiritual growth and also numerical growth as more people are coming to these Bible studies and participating. The final step in this cycle, we started with building bridges, sharing the gospel, edifying, and now equipping, helping others to see what God is doing, to see the world how he wants us to see that, is done it in various ways. This is one of the classes that we have taught in the seminary in Spain. And the seminary operates on different campuses. So the professor will travel from, so in our case, we'd go from Ponferrada, and we'd go down to Madrid or Toledo or Salamanca to the different campuses and teach. And Santi has been co-teaching with me for 3 years, different classes, a variety of different classes. And this class was apologetics that we taught just this past in February. In Toledo. And so that's one way of helping raise up and equip national leadership in the churches in Spain and beyond. We have been hosting what we call our year-long internship or internship for international ministry. And it's offered to both Spanish and English speakers. So Santiago was the first intern that came back in 2018, for about 14 months, he came, and so he was the guinea pig, and we tried out all these different ideas on him, and he survived, and we're very thankful. But it's built around the concept of we want to help ground the younger generation in how to be active and participating Christians in their local church. How can you grow and study and engage with those in your local church? And so reading books each week, going through systematic theology, reading an entire systematic theology and writing your doctrinal statement, defending that, working in Bible studies, leading Bible studies, participating in these ways alongside of us. So Santi came, and then we had Joel and his wife as well, who went through that. And then this past year, we hosted three U.S. Interns. And they came in, and in addition to doing those things, they were learning Spanish. So we had one young lady from St. Michael, a young lady from Brainerd, Minnesota, and a young man just west of the Twin Cities, but he had gone to college in Iowa and had been working down there. And so they worked for this year-long internship with us, living with Spanish families, learning Spanish, taking Spanish classes, and then working in the ministry with us. And this coming year, we have another young lady coming from Ohio, possibly another young lady from Salamanca in Spain. And then we have this other couple that I mentioned and their family coming for about 1 to 2 years to work alongside us as well. So that's an area that as churches say, hey, I think we know someone who'd fit really well. Can we get more information about this? We work with Baptist and Missions, and we get a visa, and then we talk through how to raise support, and then coming and working with us. So if that someone comes to your mind, talk to us, and we can give you more information about this year-long internship that we host in Northwest Spain. And then here's just one other photo of Santi co-teaching together. We were teaching in Madrid And God has used Santi in a great way in our lives as we've invested in him and he has worked alongside of us. And God is, one of the reasons he came to Minnesota was get to know our roots. Why are you so weird? And he now sees, you know, like we grow up, this is Minnesota and this is how we do things. And but God is working in him and we're praying that he can join with us in the new location of planting more churches and in Pontevedra. As well as, we had two young ladies join us in May for just 1 month who wanted to come and participate, see what God is doing. One from a Christian college, one from the University of Minnesota, considering whether a year-long internship is something that they would like to participate in. So, in the movement, we have spent the last 6.5 years in Ponferrada. And Ponferrada, so Madrid is right in the center. Ponferrada is about 4 hours northwest. We moved 3 hours now to Pontevedra on the Atlantic coast, and it's located about 30 minutes north of Portugal. So if you drive about 30, 35 minutes, you cross over into Portugal. And there are, as I mentioned, the Camino de Santiago starts in France and works its way across to Santiago. But there's another Camino, the second most popular route, starts in Lisbon and goes up through Portugal, through Pontevedra to Santiago. So the new location is built, the new location is a city on the Camino de Santiago, the Portuguese route. And so the same ministries with internship and the Pilgrim Camino ministry, we are able to utilize as we're planting local churches. And the goal is to see, Lord willing, 5 local churches running from northern Portugal, right here, all the way up to Santiago in villages or their small towns and cities all along the way. So we spent the last 3 months surveying this area, working with a Bible study group that we met. And we came to meet this group in Pontevedra because we saw as the church was moving forward, we knew God has another place. We're going to move on and we want to see another church started, more churches started. So what's the next place that God has for us? And so we decided, because of how the Camino provides us with international global evangelism while working in long-term local evangelism and discipleship in the Spanish culture, we were looking at 2 different locations. And we decided, well, as a family, we're going to walk from just north of Portugal, right here. We're going to walk about 65 miles as a family, over a period of 5 days, up to Santiago, doing the Camino. Because it's not like doing the Appalachian Trail. You don't have to carry your backpacks and stuff. We do carry backpacks, but you stay in hostels or albergues along the way. So we just walked as a family. And we're doing about 13 to 15 miles each day, and we were praying, God, is this where you would have us to be? We had an idea of a city. Maybe this is it. We got there, and we're like, might have been because we walked too long that day. But anyways, it was, I don't know. And Crystal she said, I just don't think that this is what, you know, where I can see us. We walked the next day and we got in and we had very good experience and the city was Pontevedra. And as we left the next morning, early in the morning, she said, I think we need to think about Pontevedra. Well, we walked that day and we got to the next town called Caldas. And we went to check into our Airbnb and the guy walked in, he had a cast on his foot. So I just asked, what happened? And he had broken his ankle doing something. And so we were talking back and forth, and I said, I'm really sorry. He said, that's okay. It's, you know, that's what God wanted. And when someone starts talking about what God wants, so I want to talk to you. Well, so we started going back and forth, and he started to share with me as a pilgrim. He said, you know, I was living, and I thought money was everything that there was, but it isn't. There's more. And I said, so then I was sharing with him, yeah, we believe that we are created and that God has something more for our lives than just gathering money. And he's working at sharing the gospel with me. And I'm working at trying to share the gospel with him because it turns out he said, well, I'm a Protestant. I go to a Bible study. And I said, well, so are we, but we work with evangelical churches and planting them. And he said, we have a Bible study group and we don't have anyone to lead us. Can you come help us? We meet in Pontevedra. which is the city that we just left earlier that morning. And so over the period of months, that was in October of last year, over the next months, we drove back. Santiago went with us and others, and we started to get to know this group and work with them. And they asked us, can you just come and help us? We need help. And so we moved. We sold our home in the beginning of May. They opened up a home for us to live in. We moved there. We worked teaching with them from May until July. And as we left, that same gentleman, Miguel Ancho, drove us down to Portugal in our car, dropped us off near the airport, and then drove us back. He drove our van back and parked it in his garage. Another couple storing all of our stuff in their extra storage room. And that's who we've been working with over the past 3 months. God opened those doors to meet this other group who needed help studying God's word. And so as we go back, our plan is to focus in on several key places along that Camino de Santiago in planting churches with local believers there and then reaching out to the contacts that they already have. We're praying for wisdom on how best to do that, where to focus first, how best to expand, and where God might have us do maybe two or three at the same time Bible studies in the cities right along the path, each separated by 13, 15 miles, and see that move forward. And so God is working in Ponferrada and Pontevedra, and you've been part of that. But it isn't something like, oh, these people went in, they had this really great plan, and they just had, you know, they got one of the comments that Santi has made. He loves the signs that are along the road with people's faces, because they don't do that in Spain. So he's always talking about, oh, there's a guy who's selling a house, you know, with their face and looks so happy. It wasn't like we put up big billboards, and that's not how it works. There were four little steps that we take. And each one of them is based on the idea that this person is important to God. And if they're important to God, then how can I encourage this person to take one more step closer to him? That's it. I don't know where they fall in that cycle. I don't know if they're a believer or not. I don't know anything about them, but I want to get to know them at some level and see how I can encourage them to take one little step. That's it. I don't have to have a ton of money or a huge ministry or a big building that is able to draw in all these people. I need to show interest in this person right now because they're important to God and they're important to me. And that's it. And you are doing that. Crystal just told me this morning, we went through the line. She said, I love coming here because everyone's so helpful. They asked if they could help with the plates. They asked if they could help with the kids. They're so kind here. That's what you're doing. And you're part of the global picture because you're supporting ministries like the one in Spain. But I bet there's a place this afternoon that you might be thinking, who's this, you know, that person will never move forward. Or as I heard this morning, that person told me, I'll never go to your church. And then they ended up going to that church. There might be someone like that. And our goal is not to convince them or to have incredible arguments that are foolproof. Our goal is to help them take one step closer to Christ. And that's what God is doing in Spain, and you're part of it. And we want to thank you for doing that. And this new place, Pontevedra, is open, and it's a city of about 80,000 people. 25 minutes to the south is Vigo, with a city of 200 to 300,000 people. North of it, there are towns and cities. The next larger city is Santiago, which is, I think, about 60,000 people. And then all along there, there's towns in between. And we believe God has given us the opportunity to take these little steps in these new places. So thank you for participating. The group that we've been serving with in Bible study in Pontevedra thanks you for allowing us to work with them and encourage them over the past 3 months. And we know God is working in and through you. And Santi, is there anything that you'd like to say? Or oh, All right, just a second. I want you to talk about how God is working in your life. Can you? Because I appreciate that, but can you share with them how we can be praying for you as God is working in your life and encouraging you towards church planting? La voluntad. ¿Cómo?
Voluntad de Dios.
Ah, the will of God.
The volunt of God.
Will of
okay.
God.
But right now I am improved, so if you can pray for me for this, it's not easy to move to another city. It's Spain, okay, but we have a different cultures in Spain, and Galicia is another different culture than me. They speak in another language, Gallego, is different than Spain. Spanish. Well, for me, please pray for me for these proofs right now, and please come to Spain when anyone to come. Okay, that's all. No more.
Thank you. If you'd be praying for God's work in this new area, Galicia is the province, and Pontevedra is the region and the capital city. And he mentioned they speak Gallego, which is like Portuguese and Spanish mashed up, and it's just a totally distinct, it's a very unique language. So please be in prayer. And for us, I know that the time is done, right? Is it 10:20? If you have any questions, or if you don't get the email updates, let us know and we can share them with you or get your email address. If you have questions, let us know. But yeah. Right. What is the significance of the Camino de Santiago for Spaniards? Really, the majority of pilgrims are not Spanish. They're global. So as we stood in Pontevedra, we'd walk around. You can tell a pilgrim because they either have a pack on their back or they're wearing hiking shoes or they just look really tired because they've been hiking all day long. So you can walk up and I'm just going to think of one little square in the new place in Pontevedra. Met people from England, Ireland, California, Portugal, Italy, Spain, France. I mean, you can meet people from all over the world in one. You just stand there, and as they walk by, you can just say, I bet that person's from Germany. Bet that person's from the Netherlands. I'll share a story later in the morning service, but I met a guy who had walked all the way from the Netherlands, all the way through Europe, to through France, across Spain to Santiago, and from South Korea, Brazil, Mexico. You can think of any country. I haven't met someone from North Korea, but we've met people from all over the place. And they're coming, and they're walking right past your door, and you have 15 minutes, maybe, to talk with them. But you don't need more to help encourage someone to take one step closer to Christ. And so we prayed with people who are atheists. We've prayed with people for people who have come from difficult backgrounds. You just ask, can I pray for you? And then they've been walking, and have someone show interest in them is very meaningful. And it opens up these incredible doors. Is there another question that comes up? Please talk with us afterwards, and we hope to answer those. But thank you so much. We hope that you see how God is working in and through you in Spain.